All right. So we are off to, this is after a long, long hiatus, part two of the series on Tefillah. In part one, it was such a long time ago, I don't even remember what we spoke about, but I believe it was a bit of an introduction on to what Tefillah is supposed to mean to us. Question of what the obligation of Tefillah is it Doraisa, Dorabanan, or both? We spoke about the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam says it's Doraisa, and the Ramban says that it's Dorabanan. We spoke about the ideas behind it, about our tefillah supposed to be thanking Hashem or viewing your opportunity to daven as a time of distress, and you're asking Hashem to help you in your time of distress. We spoke about some of the emotions of tefillah, I think. Anyway, so going forward, I guess what we're going to start to do from this week is take sections, actual sections of tefillah, and break them down a little bit, meaning talk a little bit about some of the relevant halachos, not all of them, but some of the relevant halachos for that section, and then go through some of the Be'eriya Tefillah, word for word on some of the sections of Tefillah, of whatever part we're talking about, and try to appreciate a little bit about what's being said. I guess the goal behind everything here is, number one, just to know some of the halachos of Tefillah, which I think, you know, we all think we know, and maybe we do know, but we never actually went through it carefully. Art scroll, okay, but art scroll doesn't give you all the halachos. I mean, I guess they do in the back.
In the
but
back, yeah.
You're right, that's true. You're right. If you actually turn to the back and you actually read the ones in the back, yeah. Then you're right. Then you'll know a lot of the halachos already. To be honest, when I helped to write our sefer that I helped to write for our curriculum development for schools in North America last year, to be honest, there was actually quite a few halachos that I wrote about that I didn't realize beforehand. Well, some of them I sort of knew, whatever, but I didn't realize exactly. I was surprised. I mean, most of them I did know, but there was a bunch that I actually wasn't familiar with. I didn't realize that. I was like, wow, this is bad. I feel terrible now. It takes this for me to, you know, to realize. Anyways, so that's number one. Just to either go over them and make sure that we know some of the basic halachos. Again, we're not going to go through all of them. Just take some of the selected ones. And number two, to when we go through some of the Be'eriya Tefillah, to make Tefillah into something which is not just a dry, you know, recitation of words where you just go through and you say blah, 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 or even if you say the words a little more slowly and you actually know the words that you're saying, you know, it's just, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. I read them. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to feel whatever, but it's not an emotional experience. An emotional experience today of Tefillah is hard when it's said so fast, but the goal is once you understand a little bit more about what you're saying and you realize that in order to really have tefillah properly, you need to think about it. What I want you to get to the point is that you realize that every single tefillah experience that you have is not enough. The feeling is I always want more. I mean, I need more time. I want more. Like, wow, if I could just put in a little bit even a couple minutes of tefillah to feel the feelings that I'm feeling and experience the emotions that you understand and you appreciate when you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you ask Hashem for things. When tefillah is a mixture of a lot of things, as we'll see, you should feel that I wish I had, you know, all day. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Levai Shis Pal Adam Kol Yom, Halavai, that a person, God, you know, it would be great if a person could just daven all day. So again, that's not going to happen, obviously, and we don't really mean that you should daven all day. But the point is, at least my, you know, understanding, I think, is one take on this is that what it means to say is that you realize there's so much to tefillah that you really could spend all day on it and get to really an amazing height and still feel like you didn't completely get to the tip of the iceberg of what you could be feeling, what you could have been understanding through those tefillahs. So if we can even get to a little bit of that stage and that level of feeling that way, once you see how much depth is there, even if we only get to a little bit of it, and only if you even think about a little bit of that during your own tefillah, then I think it's a success. The endeavor of trying to break it down and appreciate it more. Okay. So this week, again, we're not going to do everything. We're going to talk about Birchas HaShachar this week. I think last time we also did a little bit about Elokai Neshama. I don't think so. Okay, Birchas HaTorah. We'll see if we have time at the end. If we have time for it, we'll come back to just a little bit of the synopsis of Birchas HaTorah. But we'll start with Birchas HaShachar. For the halachos, so there's two svarim. I don't know if you have Mishnah Berurah here. If you have one, you can look it up. There's another nice sefer also on tefillah, which is pretty simple to understand. And it's in most of the shuls here. If you want to take a look at it. And that is Tefillah Kilchasa. That's the sefer, sorry. Okay. Yeah, it's a good one. So if you have another copy of the sefer for Moshe, that's also good. The sefer Tefillah Kilchasa is a nice sefer, which basically gives you the very practical bottom line on a lot of the halachos, the relevant halachos from the different sections of tefillah. most of it is based on the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, but again, it makes sure it gives you all the practical points here. So let's take a look for a few minutes at some of the relevant points about Birchas HaShachar. Okay, first question is what exactly is Birchas HaShachar based on? Okay, and we know that we have a series of brachos here that we say every morning, thanking Hashem for different things. Where does this come from? What's it based on? So basically, the Gemara actually tells you all these things. Okay, it's not exactly in the same words, but a lot of it's pretty close. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Samech basically says when you wake up in the morning, okay, when you wake up after sleeping, so you should say all these different brachos. It says when you hear the noise of the rooster or the kol ha'tarnagel, you should say Hanosein l'sechvivin ala avchim yom v'nayla. When you get dressed, you should say Al bishar amim. Okay, when you open your eyes, you say Pokeach Ivrim. When you sit down, you say Matzira Asurim. When you get up, you say Zokev Kufim, etc., etc., etc. Essentially, what it's doing, again, we'll have to go through the exact meaning of each bracha, but basically, what it's doing is saying that every bracha is recited, okay, more or less at the time when you actively participate in the action described in the bracha. Okay? It means it's an action based or response-based type of bracha. Okay? Now, is that what we practice, or does it not seem to be like what we do? Okay, so that's maybe a little different, because there we're not transforming ourselves into a Jew at the time you make the bracha. But then, and also, by the way, those three brachas, Shalos Ani Goy, and Shalos Ani Aved, and Shalos Ani Isha, are actually not in the Gemara brachas. Okay, they come from a different Gemara in Menachos. So that one's included. Okay, that one they talk about. The one, the line in the Gemara, which is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, Shasli Kol Tzarki is where putting on your shoes. Okay, that's considered to be associated with shoes. All of your needs. Interestingly enough, seems to be relevant to shoes. Think about that a little bit. Okay, again, maybe we'll see them a little later, but you get the idea. Question is, again, is that our practice or is that not our practice? Is that what we do? That's not what we do, right? What do?
Put them all together.
Yeah, we dump it all together. We stand in shul and we say all the brachas. Okay? We don't do each of these things. So essentially, the Rishonim discussed in the Gemara how it's supposed to be. And it seems like in the time of the Gemara, and the real way that it was supposed to be is what the Gemara says, is essentially that that you're supposed to say every bracha at the time when the bracha becomes relevant. That's essentially what it seems like.
So why don't we live like this?
Oh, so that's the question. All right. So the Shulchan Aruch himself addresses this point. This already came up in time of the Rishonim. This is all, by the way, in Siman Mem Vav in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, after mentioning all these brachas and all this stuff, so he says, Achshav, nowadays, because Ein Hayadayim Nikios, okay, our hands are not clean, all right, meaning at some point along the way, the way the Halach of Netilas Yadayim developed, which we didn't really discuss, but Halach of Netilas Yadayim developed that we have to say the bracha of Netilas Yadayim to make sure that our hands are clean, and some of these events of getting dressed and hearing the rooster or whatever may have taken place before Netilas Yadayim. Not necessarily, again, we're not getting into this now. Nekel Vasser is one thing, you wash right when you get out of bed. But Netilas Yadayim, Mishum Nekios, may take place a little bit later. Maybe two times that you wash. And we're going to leave this out for now. But basically, that's part of it. The other part here is All right. There are some people, at least at the time of the Rishonim, that did not know the brachas. So essentially, because of these two reasons, the custom became to say them in shul. And that's basically what it is today. Even though, again, you could argue, well, today everybody does know the brachos, and most people today know how to read. Today maybe we do wash our hands the second we get out of bed. Negel Vasser, at least, maybe we don't make a bracha then. Again, that's a question also of how to deal with the Tilas HaDayim, which we're not going to get into now. But essentially, for that reason, the custom has become to say them in shul. And that's what we do today. That's basically... that's what comes down the halacha. Okay. Again, there are a lot more things we can discuss on that, but I think we're trying to abbreviate here, so we'll leave it at that. Okay, a few other points on halacha.
What about saying amen? Do you have to say it out loud? Does someone say amen?
So if you hear somebody else saying the bracha, you should say amen. The question is, do you want to hear the bracha from someone else? Is that what you're asking?
Or like some I know, minyanim. I noticed in America that they will say it all out loud. Everyone says amen, right. And here everyone says
right.
It to themselves.
Right. Okay. So you're right. In Chutz La'aretz, the custom seems to be in shuls that most people have a chazan that says the brachas, mm-hmm. and everybody says amen. Now, you could be yotze with that bracha as well. And they actually discussed that in the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch. It says here that, again, because the whole concept was because of the amaratzim, people that didn't know how to make the brachas, so part of the reason to do it in the shul was so that one person says the bracha, the chazan, and everybody else that doesn't know how to make the bracha on their own, they say amen, and they fulfill their obligation that way. So they don't have to say anything themselves. Okay? That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, in the line I just read you. It says, V'onin amin acharei, and they say amen after the bracha of the chazan, and they fulfill their obligation. Okay? However, it seems to be that if you're able... And the Mishnah Berurah, by the way, adds there that even if you know how to make a bracha, you can still be yotzei with somebody else if they say the bracha for you, if they have kavanah. Okay. However, the Mishnah Berurah points out at the end, he says, Bizman Azeh, meaning skip now from the 1500s of the Shulchan Aruch time to like the 1900s or the 1800s. So he says that the custom today is that everybody makes the bracha on their own. Mm. Okay. Now, because of that, so in Chutz La'aretz, they still kept the custom of the chazan making the bracha out loud, even though most people were not being yotze with that bracha, they were saying it themselves. And in general, it's better to say the bracha yourself in this situation. But here in Eretz Yisrael, it seems like the custom has become because basically they created a new custom, because there weren't so many Jews that lived here before. They created the new custom that, well, if anyway, the chazan is not going to be yotze all the people, so why not just start from like Hodu or Mizmor Shir, or from Avi Shmuel Omer, and cut the bracha. Not that you don't say the brachas, but you know, but that you don't have to spend the time for the chazan to say that out loud, and everybody has to say amen because nobody's being yotzei anyway. It's nice to say amen, but it's not necessary.
What do you mean no one's being yotzei?
Meaning, when the chazan is making the bracha, nobody else is fulfilling their obligation through the chazan. They're saying it themselves. That's what he was saying. That everybody knows how to say the bracha themselves. It's the custom to say it themselves. Okay, so you don't need the chazan to say the whole thing out loud. That's what happened basically in Eretz Yisrael.
I've also had someone come up to me like after shul and say right. the brachas again.
What do you mean?
Or we say the brachas, so I can say amen to his brachas.
Just to say amen?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so that's not. It's nice to say amen to other things, but it's not required. You don't need to go out of your way to do that.
Okay.
Here. So in the Tefillah Kilchasa, so he writes that there are some to have the custom that everybody in the shul says the brachas out loud and everybody else says amen, meaning basically to, you know, get more zechus of saying amen. In some people, some places only the Shkach Tzibur does it. And you know, says every place does the does their own custom. So again, I can't say everywhere here in Eretz Yisrael, but at least the places we've seen today, it seems like that's not done so much. They don't really say it out loud anymore. Again, because it's nice to say amen, but it's not necessary when you're not being motzi anybody. That's what seems to be done today, even though again he quotes here that others, you know, seem to say that it's nice to say amen to other people's brachas. But okay. What I will point out is that just on a practical level, I feel like, I don't know if this is always true, but unfortunately I feel like if you go to shul sometimes, because davening starts at, davening starts at 6:30 or 6:45 or at 8:30 on Shabbos or whatever, right. You know, so suddenly it becomes, okay, well, davening starts then, so I'll show up then at shul. I'll take 5 minutes or 3 minutes to put on my tefillin. I'll either say Berachas HaShachar or I won't. But if I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it really fast because the chazan's already halfway through Pesukah DeZimra, mm-hmm. or I'm not going to say Pesukah DeBerachas HaShachar, or I'm going to say it a little longer and then I'm going to fall way behind. And that's a problem, okay? Meaning that's not really the intention of the way that it's done here, that to start mm-hmm. davening on time, you know, at the beginning of Pesukah DeZimra, you have to make sure to say your Berachas HaShachar properly. And if you need to get there early, it's highly recommended. If you ask me, for sure you should get there early. You should get there at least 5 minutes early.
Or stay in your house.
Right, stay in your house also. The custom is still, you know, I think it's nicer to stay in shul just because it's more, you can concentrate better and you can, you know, it's you already put out your tefillin beforehand. I would recommend staying in shul.
Really?
But if it's not possible, you know, you can stay at home, and sometimes I do. Put it this way, another example. If you need to do a lot of activities before davening, so then it probably is better to, maybe we'll talk about this next week a little more, it's better to say the brachos beforehand. Because in general, you're not really supposed to do too many things before davening. But let's say, you know, you have to take care of stuff, you have to go wash your clothes, you have to take your kids to school, or whatever it is, anything like that, that really is best to not do before davening, if you can help it. So if you need to do them, it's better to say the Berachas HaShachar, and maybe even Karbanos, before you go to Shul. At least you said part of davening. Said a section of it before you do your activities.
Right, I know. Okay. I run before I go to shul, and that's a problem.
That's a whole discussion about that.
I've actually heard that Rav, who does the shura after mincha, Rav Agat Sorba.
Rav El Ghazi?
He Yeah, he's
born in the Kilat Ishel.
Yeah.
So what did he say? Okay, so I'll give you the Limud Zchus for it. I'll give you Limud Zchus, all right? No. Sorry, you didn't give me Limud Zchus. So in the Piskei Tshuvos, they have a whole discussion about this. He probably knows this also, but maybe he didn't bother to mention it. Basically, what they say in the Piskei Tshuvos, which I don't have, I didn't bring it here. I mean, I'll read it to you. If I remember, I'll bring it next week. I'll show you. They say basically is that really, it's true. That running is an activity which is probably best not to do before davening. However, however, what they point out is that sometimes those types of activities need an early morning air, or they need, there's something special or easier about doing it in the morning. And if it's very important to do, and it's important to do then, so then it can be considered something that needs to be done before davening, and it would be permissible. I believe, if I remember correctly, I believe he actually mentioned that as one of his specific examples.
Oh, really?
as jogging. Okay. And he asked people, you know, you do it, it makes sense. You know, there is something about running early in the morning when it's not too hot outside,
right,
and it's quiet out, and you're not, you know, you're going to be missed so much by your family, whatever it is. It really makes sense. And, you know, let's say, you know, if you have the opportunity to go davening earlier and go to running afterwards, that's probably better, but it doesn't always work.
Right,
it's just not always so practical.
Yeah, yeah.
So if it's not practical, so then you can consider that to be something that would be permissible to do before davening. And maybe it would make sense to go, you know, to say Berachas HaShachar before you go. Say Ol Kodesh Shama. And Berachas HaTorah.
Sunrise?
Oh, that's a different question, depending on what time you're going. I shouldn't ask what time you're going here. But if you're going very early, if you're going to the Nates Minyan, then you should go there.
Like a quarter to five. So it's
start what, a quarter to five?
Running.
You're running a quarter to five. Wow. Wow. Nobody got to go to sleep early. yes, I think you can run before davening. There, you could.
So I shouldn't say Birchos HaShachar. I don't want to derail
this. Birchos HaShachar. So I would say, in that case, Birchos HaShachar, maybe you can wait till afterwards, maybe.
Really?
If you wanted to say before, you could, but a quarter to five, it may depend also on the time of year. Mm-hmm. But at this time of year, so, I could see it either way.
Okay.
Anyway, if you're going to daven, you know, Nates, so then the Nates, the earliest minyan that you would daven, even if it's not Nates, even the 6 o'clock minyan now, the earliest time that they would daven, it starts around 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, anyway, if you're going before then, maybe some of the Yisurim apply, but anyway, if there's, you know, as I said, there's some leeway room to begin with on some of these issues, I would think that in that situation there's not as much of a problem to go before and not even say Berachas HaShachar.
Oh.
I would say I would wash your hands, say Matil Asa
Daim. For
sure. And yeah, I think you don't have to say the other ones. I'll look to a little more and see if, you know, if it's
okay.
You definitely can. If you want to say them, you definitely are allowed to. Okay, Berachas HaShachar, yeah, you can say after
you
wake up.
Would you repeat it, I guess, is the question.
No, you wouldn't repeat it again. You can say Berachas HaShachar already after Alos HaShachar, maybe even before Alos HaShachar.
Okay.
Your situation is probably right around Alos HaShachar at that time, at least this time of year right now.
Mm-hmm.
Nate's right now, actually maybe it's even before. Nate now is around 6:15 or so.
Mm-hmm.
So Alos HaShachar is probably, depending on which shita you follow, somewhere in the area of 4:45, 5:05. So it's anyway right before. If it's before, for sure you don't say Berachas HaShachar. If you wanted to, you probably could. They say that around the time you would be allowed to. But that also makes it much less of a problem to go running if it's not even Alos HaShachar yet.
Right.
So it's even better in terms of the timing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So that's a little of the story with that. What else can I mention about Birchas HaShachar? So he mentions here. Okay, I mentioned about the brachos I told you before. The other brachos about Shalosani Goyin, Shalosani Avin, Shalosani Isha are a separate set of brachos that come from the Gemara Menachos, which are not based on the same obligation of when you do an activity. It's based on a status and kind of appreciating your status as a Jew. Okay. All right. There's not so many other halachos here. There's other stuff you can learn
just
about.
Just interesting that Malbisha Omim is not considered shoes. And
right. Malbisha Omim is clothes.
Ah,
okay. So. That's clothes. There's another halacha that Tzilah Kilchasa brings down here that in general the custom is to say the Berachas HaShachar when you're standing. Okay. It's actually not. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch. He brings down from the Makor Chayim, which is Reb Bachrach, one of the Achronim of the Shulchan Aruch. But in general, that's what's done. But in general, that's the custom, is to stay while you're standing. He quotes here that some of the Sephardi posts actually say that Sephardim can sit if they want. Hmm. I don't know if they do. I think that most of them stand also, but Sephardim apparently are a little less machmed about standing for Birchas HaShachar. And then he mentioned also, he asked to spoke about the tefillin before, so here also, that there's different customs about whether Birchas HaShachar is said after you put on your tefillin or before you put on your tefillin. And again, it may depend on what we said before about what, you know, if it was originally done at each activity. So maybe it was done anyway without your tefillin on. But today, if you're doing it in shul, so there's different customs about that. Again, personally, I would think it's nice to say it with your tefillin on if you're going to say it in shul anyway. If you're going to say it at home, for whichever reason it is, then it's not such a big deal.
Where does it officially start? What's the first bracha?
Anosem Masechta Tfilah.
Sheratam Masechta
Tfilah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Again, we're not going to go into the other. There's other stuff here on the Shulchan Aruch, but I think those are the main points. Let's see here. Okay. Let's see. Okay. So the next little bit. Let's look at some of the content of the brachas. So I thought for this section, we would use the sefer called the Olas Tamid. It's a really, really nice sefer. Basically, it goes through Parashat Tefillah. It's short and nice and sweet, which is why it's nice also. There are other nice Sfarim also. First has a nice commentary on the Tefillah. Rav Cook has a very lengthy commentary in his Seder called Ulos Re'iyah. There's other nice Sidur Rav also. Yaakov Evden has a nice thing. There's other more modern Sfarim in English, English stuff about Tefillah or whatever. This is very nice. It's in Hebrew. It's short. It's sweet. And the author is, his name is Rav Shmuel Mordechai Hominer. Okay, I don't actually know who he is. I don't actually know much about him at all. But maybe I found it to be very, very, very nice. So let's see what he has to say here. Again, what I can do is we can make copies of this if you want. Or, I don't know, whatever's easier to look on. I'm not sure exactly. I don't have any more copies myself, but we'll see next week. I want to do if I can make copies or not. Okay. Anyways, let's go through a couple of the covenants of his brother. Okay. So as we said, the point of Birchas HaShachar is... Again, this is very, very important. Okay, it's not just making nice brachas and mumbling through it without understanding what we're saying. We're supposed to be thanking Hashem, even if we say it at davening together, not at the time of the action. What we're supposed to be doing is thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for each of these phenomena in the world. Okay, it means that you really have to have appreciation for what they are in order to be able to say the bracha properly. Okay, you can't just say them. You have to really think about them, which again takes time, which we don't always have, but at least to realize what we're not doing if we're not doing it. So let's go through it. Why can't I find it here? No, moment. Okay. So the first one. Okay. Hanosein l'sachvi yinol avchim yom v'nayla. Okay. So he says here that what is sechvi? Okay. It says that hanotein l'sachvi. Hashem gives the sechvi bina, wisdom or not understanding, l'avchim, to distinguish between night and day. What is a sechvi we're talking about? You know what it is?
Say rooster.
Right, okay, good. So some say rooster, right? Others disagree, though. Others actually say that it's talking about your heart. Okay, what does that mean? I don't know what it says in the translation there.
Heart, yeah.
It says heart, okay? Heart may not mean heart, but it means your inner body has a rhythm. And your body rhythm also can help you distinguish, okay? So basically, he says here that this bracha, bracha zuhi hodala makom, it's thanks to Hashem, that gave us the ability to be not, of understanding and distinguishing. And through this bina, this ability to understand and distinguish different aspects of things or different times of the day, a person can distinguish adam mafchin ben yom ve'layla. Okay, you can distinguish in day and night. And he says that Hashem helped us out by making the case that even if we sleep in a dark house, this is again the Rush talking now. He's quoting the Rush here. This was 700 years ago, or whatever. Even if a person sleeps in a dark house, yafchin bi'as hayom, you'll know when the daytime begins. Idiat harnagol, because there are roosters around. Okay, very nice. And then Rav Homer, the Olas Tamid, brings in the application of Zman Hazeh. Is what he does. He's great at this. Okay, he says, well, today we don't really. I mean, maybe we do hear roosters sometimes, and some of the roosters are crowing at 11 o'clock in the morning. But whatever it is, and they're not. You don't always hear them at 4 o'clock in the morning, or we just don't live on the side of town that has them, or not at all, whatever. Anyway, so how do we apply this today? He says, Mizeish Lavod Eich LaHodus LaHalakadosh Baruch Hu. We should thank Hashem ourselves. Al Shanasan Lanu. Guess what? How do we distinguish between night and day? What do we have?
Alarm clocks
or watches. Okay, Shaon. Shalya do yedaha adam dekal, through the watch or the clock, a person knows easily imhu kfar yom. Okay, if it's daytime or not. And interestingly enough, today I guess we have to add to this, watches doesn't just mean an alarm clock which is plugged in, it means an alarm clock with batteries, or a watch like this, or cell phones. If you have cell phones with time, why do I say that? Because last night, if you were awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, there was a blackout.
Yep.
You know.
We lost my. I don't have a battery backup. I had to reset my alarm.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so you realized. Okay, I wouldn't have known, but then my kids started screaming, so we had to wake up. We were up for the next half an hour, which we would have been up anyway with the baby, if not for that. But it's always something every night, So luckily we had a watch and we had a cell phone which had battery, so actually we were able to see what time it was. But if you have a plug-in even that, if the power goes out, you don't have that. But anyway, there usually are ways to know if it's nighttime or daytime. Even if it's dark, the ancient call a tarnagel, and you don't hear the voice of the rooster. Okay? So he says, when you say the bracha of Hanosim L'Sachem Yuna L'Avchin, you should have in mind, also Hashem gave us the ability to have a clock, or an alarm clock, or a watch, something like that, to tell time. Okay? It means we have to thank Hashem. It's not something we should take for granted. Mm. Okay? It's something we do take for granted. And every morning we have the opportunity, if you're mechavin correctly in the bracha, to not take it for granted. Say thank you to Hashem for giving us the technology. And in those days, you know, the roosters, and a little bit today, to be able to tell when is night and when is day. Okay. Next set of brachas. So then we say, Shalom Asani Goy. Okay, what is this all about? So again, the Gemara talks about this, that we thank Hashem for not being a non-Jew. Not that we have anything against non-Jews. But again, the idea is to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our status here. We thank Hashem for separating us, to make us special from all the nations, and bringing us close to doing His Avodah. Meaning, we have to realize that being a Jew is a privilege. It's not easy, and it's challenging, and sometimes it's very hard. But at the same time, it's a privilege, if we understood that it was a privilege, you know, to be close to Hashem and to do His work, to have that special relationship with us, with Him, that we would be able to, we would thank Him much more for it. Right? But we don't always appreciate it. We have to think about it. You know, that the fact that every day we have the opportunity to do mitzvos and to do special things that get us close to Him, we don't always appreciate how important that is. This bracha is an opportunity to sort of force ourselves to recognize that reality and say thank you to Hashem for, you know, all the good things about being a Jew, and sometimes also the challenges. Okay? That's Shalos Hani Goyish. Shalos Hani Oven. Okay? Somebody who's a servant, even if he's Jewish, okay, still, we thank Hashem for saying that we're not a servant, even if a servant is Jewish. Why is that? Because, again, we are looking for somebody. The servant has less mitzvos, an Eved Kanani at least, is chayav in mitzvos lo sa'aseh, but he's not chayav mitzvos sa'aseh, so we want to thank Hashem for giving us more mitzvos.
I thought we're an Eved Ne'eman.
What'd you say?
We're an Eved Ne'eman.
Okay, that's a different twist on it that I haven't seen, but...
That's in the Rachov, right? Of Shabbos.
Oh, yeah.
Yismach Moshe.
Right. Ki Eved Ne'eman. Okay. But here we're saying Shalom Asani Eved, so we're making the simple understanding that we're thanking Hashem that we're not an Eved at all. Mm. But what it could mean is that we're not an Eved to somebody else. We're not a slave to another person. We're slave. You know, we're servants. We're not servants. We serve HaKadosh Baruch. Okay. So he says here also, interestingly enough, he says you should be mechavin on this also, the fact that Hashem saved you, saved us today from hard labor, okay, mm-hmm. and from working in Mitzrayim, etc., etc. He says every day you should think about not. You know, thinking that we left Egypt. So here also, think about the fact that we're not, that we don't have the Avodas Parach in Egypt. And again, we can thank Hashem today, by the way, also, Shalos Hani Oven, in a more modern twist. Today we have so many machines that do our work for us, okay? Those days, he doesn't say that. This is my twist now. Mm-hmm. You know, we have laundry, we have, microwaves, we have all these different things that help us to take care of all the labor that people used to spend all day on back in the old time. Today we can do it within a few minutes, and we can use our time for other things, hopefully for good things. Not for bad things. And again, it's another bracha. It's a thing to think about. Shalos Hani Oved. Very important. Okay. Shalos Hani Isha. So this is a complicated one, which we're not going to go into so much now. The Rishonim discussed different ideas of what this means. But basically, the simple pshat is that we're thanking Hashem for, a male at least, is thanking Hashem for the opportunity to do more mitzvahs. Okay, meaning a woman is thanking Hashem for what she is, she has a special connection to Hashem. And a man is thanking Hashem for the opportunity, and again, it's an obligation, it's not always easy to do more mitzvahs. Okay, women don't have to get up every morning to go to davening for a minyan, and men are supposed to. Okay, but we thank Hashem for the opportunity to do more mitzvahs, and time bad mitzvahs that the woman doesn't have to do. Okay? So he says that the lesson from these three brachos is that a person should be inspired to thank Hashem for your good portion that Hashem gave him, and to thank Hashem for everything that He gave him with a sense of humility and of being a little bit far low down, that we're not coming from a sense of arrogance, a sense of that Hashem gave us something good, and we have to appreciate what it is. And what that means is, even if you don't always think that it's good, sometimes it looks like it's bad, but we should realize, thank Hashem, that it's a greater rule to have, you know, more mitzvos is a greater thing, even if we don't always realize it. So that's what we're basically doing with these three brachas of Shalos Hani Goy, Shalos Hani Oved, and Shalos Hani Isha. That's essentially the idea, in short. Okay, very quickly, let's do a couple more, and we'll stop in a couple minutes. Pokeach Evrim, of course, is eyes. And again, he explains, you know, we know that when you sleep, your eyes are closed. So when you open your eyes, you have to thank Hashem for the fact that you can open your eyes. Now, again, for us, we don't always think about it. But, you know, somebody, God forbid, that has a problem, that can't see so well, or whatever, is going to have issues. And they'll realize how important the bracha this is. If they can't.
Blind person would still make the bracha, however.
Yeah, correct. So listen to this. He says, number one, you should thank Hashem for giving you the opportunity to open your eyes that you can see. Then he says, if you were sick, if you had an eye infection or problem, and then it got better, you'll feel a special level of thankfulness to Hashem for opening your eyes. Okay, and we should all feel that way, that we should thank Hashem for having the opportunity. Okay, we shouldn't get to the point where we have to, God forbid, lose, you know, part of our eyesight. And then he says, if you wear glasses, imatano se mishkafayim, you should thank Hashem also, shem tzi ba'olam inyana vateha mishkafayim, that Hashem created the possibility of having glasses in the world. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to see without glasses, those of us who have glasses. Okay? And then he says, thank Hashem also, if he gave you money, or he gave you kubach cholim, if they pay for glasses, for at least for kids for some time, and you're able to find the right glasses that fit your eyesight. Okay? And then you're able to see. You can learn properly, you can daven properly, you can do other things properly, you can help people. And then he says, better when you go to this, when you walk on the streets, better not to wear glasses. You know why?
Obviously.
Because, yeah, you should limit your amounts of real things that you see in the street. Okay, good. Nice thing to add. Anyway, he says also that Bokeach Ibrim is on the plural form, because we're not just thanking Hashem for our own eyesight, we're thanking Hashem for everybody else's eyesight as well. And that's why the halacha is that even somebody who's blind also says the bracha of Bokeach Ibrim, because he's thanking Hashem not only for himself, but also for everybody else that has the ability to see. And everybody else that has the ability to see can help him as well. Okay, you see people that help somebody who's blind. If they couldn't see, then they couldn't help him either. So that's included in that. Malbish Arumim, okay, clothing people that don't have clothes. So we thank Hashem here for the opportunity to have clothes. And again, he says, think about it, Targish B'Pratuz, you individually think about how you thank Hashem for how the fact that Hashem got you clothes that you needed. Okay, again, it's not always so simple. We take it for granted. But back 300 years ago, people wore the same clothes every day for the span of about 2 months or 3 months. Mm-hmm. It was very dirty. And even that they have to thank Hashem for. So certainly today, you know, we have to thank Hashem for the opportunity to have good clothes and be able to change our clothes every day and to wash them easily, etc., etc. And he says in the winter time, you should say thank Hashem for being able to have warm clothes, okay, that you won't be cold. On Shabbos, you know, you should thank Hashem for the fact that you have special clothes for Shabbos. Okay, et cetera, et cetera. Again, the point is that you want to thank Hashem for the fact that there are clothes in general, but you also want to focus it on your own personal experience, that you really feel that this is special, that I have clothes. Don't take it for granted. Take nothing for granted, because you never, ever know what the next day is going to bring, and you have to feel that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Matir Asurim. He says to that Hashem unties those that are tied. So he says, what that means, when you're sleeping, you're basically bound to your bed, and Hashem unties you from your bed when you wake up in the morning, and you should thank Hashem for that as well. Hmm. Okay? And again, if anybody's ever felt that, you know, it's when you're trying to get up in the morning, you can't get up, it's like you're half asleep. You know, so then finally when you get that burst of energy, you're able to get yourself out of the bed, you have to thank Hashem for the ability to be able to get out of bed. And again, some people can't move. Okay? People that can't move, they're stuck in a wheelchair, this and that, whatever. So this is the opportunity, again, to thank Hashem for those of us that are able to do that, to realize that, again, we cannot take anything for granted. And we have to really, really be thankful for each and every point. Zokev kefufim. Same idea of straightening Hashem, you know, your back. Again, somebody who has a bad back realizes that it's not so simple to be able to straighten up your back like this. So we all have to thank Hashem, even if we have a bad back, and certainly if we don't, to thank Hashem for the opportunity that we can get up every day and stand up straight. And again, don't take it for granted, because you never ever know what's going to happen. And you see some people unfortunately lost the use of their back in that way, and you know, they also have to thank Hashem for what they have, but you know, certainly everybody has to thank Hashem for whatever they have at their level. Okay, Rakal, so mine is an interesting one, which we're going to sort of skip for now, that Hashem put the land on the water. Again, interesting, it's going to be a little bit longer discussion, so we're not going to go into that now. Shasli Kol Tzarki, basically, the halacha mentions that that's related to shoes, interestingly enough. Apparently shoes is considered to be something which is very, very special. Again, why that's called Kol Tzarki, all of my needs, we're not going to go into now. But again, the same idea that we shouldn't take shoes for granted. And ask people from 300 years ago, they barely had shoes. Mm-hmm. If they had them, they were falling apart, they were torn, they were not sufficient for, you know, cold weather. Anything that we have today with shoes, the fact we can go out and buy more shoes, and you know, we can pay the money for whatever it is, we should be thankful for whatever we have. And then he says in this bracha also, Olas Tamid says, Yechavim ezel lases hodak klalit. Okay, general thanks to Hashem for everything that you have. Shasli kol tzarki. In fact, you have a place to live, you have food, everything that you need, you have. And then he says, he's pointing out what a person should think about. You should never ever say at any time, chaser li ezer davar, I'm missing something. You can say something that I want to get, But anytime that you say, I'm missing something, it's lacking. I need, I miss it. I don't have it. This is terrible. I don't have something. He says, don't say that. Be very careful not to say that. Because when you say shasoli kol tzarki, you want to mean it. Okay? And if you don't mean it, then it's a bracha levatola, so to speak. So you have to basically have, you have to have faith in your mind, and you have to say with a full confidence of heart, when you make this bracha, that really, 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 you do have everything you have. You have everything that you need. And Hashem gave you everything at the right time, and whatever he didn't give you, you don't need it right now. You can get it. You can get by without it. Again, not an easy thing to do. Okay, sometimes it's challenging to do that. But the point is, that's part of what we need to do when we say that bracha. And if you can really say it with the proper kavana, you'll come out spiritually, you know, three notches up above from what you were before. Okay. All right, we're going to stop very, very soon. Basically, HaMechim Tzad Gavir is being able to walk. Again, obviously, anybody who can't walk, you know, even temporarily, or can't, you know, you're limping, whatever it is, you have to appreciate, you know, how much this bracha is able to give us. And again, to think about, to keep our, you know, to walk for the right reasons, okay? He says, not do something negative with Sono against Hashem's will. Make sure that you're walking for the right reasons. Ozer Yisrael B'Gevurah has to do with a belt, okay? Hashem gird the Jewish people B'Gevurah with might, with courage. So again, the Shulchan Aruch talks about B'Gevurah as basically being putting a belt on to separate between the two parts of your body, your Erva area and the rest of your area. Mm. Again, also a very, very interesting idea to be able to distinguish between Erva and things that are not Erva. He mentions here others that talk about to conquer your Yetzer Hara. Apparently has a connection to this bracha of B'Gevurah. The Gevurah that it needs to take, you need to take take charge of your Yetzer Hara, etc., etc. Oter Yishal B'Sifar, interestingly enough, is related to what you put on your head. It's a hat you put on your head, which again, today, many people do not wear hats on their head, at least in our society. It's not such a common thing anymore. But again, the idea that you could put something on your head, or even just the crown of the Jewish people's keter, so to speak, their crown is related to this. Again, I think we got the idea. Hanos and Lev Koach, of giving somebody who's tar, giving them the strength to go through the day. He mentions here also you should thank Hashem every time that you sometimes feel a little bit weak, a little bit tired, and sometimes you get a second wind, either Ruchnius wins right now, okay, or Gashmius wind, whatever it is. The fact that you can sometimes you're weak and you can sort of overcome that, so you want to thank Hashem for that type of thing. Okay, Hamavir Shemei, and I just know if you have a bit of a longer bracha, so leave that out for now. But essentially, what we come out with here is the sense that these brachas are the point of these brachas is that you can't take anything for granted in life, and that's the point of our morning routine. And a morning routine is a routine. But it's not just a routine. Every experience in the morning and the bracha that we give to correspond to that experience should be an exclamation of, wow, Hashem, this is really amazing. And I don't always think about it, but this is my chance to thank you, Hashem, for everything that I have. Everything that I do that I consider to be normal daily routine is really not so normal. It's something amazing, and we can't take it for granted. Mizrach Hashem, we should be able to have the right kavanas and the right experience when we say these brachas and take our time and say them in the right way.
Amen, amen.